Less stress, more time, more money. Welcome to the Cash Flow Contractor, Short.
Well, we build a lot of websites for people and help them with their messaging and stuff. And it's always one of the most challenging things to get them to talk about their company story. A lot of times it's just not very clear. And there's a book that we've referenced in a previous episode that I've been reading through on and off for the last couple of years called 17 Reasons Why Your Company Is Not Investment Grade. Basically, like why someone would buy your company or not, and what you can do about it. And it's a pretty easy book to read and skim through too. I think basically what he did is, he's an investment banker, and I'm pretty sure that his outline was just all of their checklists for whenever they're evaluating a company. Yeah. And then he just elaborated.
Their due diligence.
Yeah, and they just elaborate on each point. But really cool book.
Hey, that's a great way to write a book. It is a great,
you would know from your experience. No, but I think this is one of his areas. I mean, it's that valuable that investors are thinking about this. What's your company story? And so I wanted to go through some of the checklist items that he provides on company story, or really just the questions he asks. Out of all of your clients, how well do you think they answer these questions when they come in the door?
Not well at all. We talk about having a vision for your company, which is not the same thing as a company story. It's part of it. But it's always really hard to get a vision. Mm-hmm. And I think people are kind of caught up in the day-to-day, and they're thinking, well, my vision is make some damn money. You know, my vision is to not go broke. They haven't thought about the loftier goals mm-hmm. or the ultimate destination.
Yeah.
And so that's more common than not.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a lot of times company story vision feels very arbitrary. Like it doesn't matter. And it also feels so subjective that why would anybody care? But at the end of the day,
why would anybody else care?
At the end of the day, like so many of the things that we do on a day-to-day basis are a lot of our purchase decisions have to do with the company story. Like, a lot of times people buy Michael Jordan shoes, like some Jordans, because of what they represent. And that's a story. That's a company story. A lot of times we buy products. We go see certain movies because the story resonates with us. We've talked several times about Donald Miller's book, Story Brand, Brand Script. And it just makes sense that the story is why. Everyone's in a story, and they're the hero of their story. You get the opportunity to be a guide, but people are invested in your story too. That's why they buy from you. That's why GoFundMe pages do so well, because there's a story there that people buy into.
That's what Simon Sinek says. You can reduce what he does, Simon Sinek, who's magnificent, down to one thing. People don't buy what you do. They buy why you
exactly.
do it. And I think about that a lot. And I think that's true of really epic companies. Mm. But I think a lot of people buy what you do. And that puts you in price competition.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're just another concrete guy.
Yeah.
Right?
And you're only there as long as you're competitive. As soon as you're not competitive, as soon as someone finds a story that competes with you, not just the price, but someone who has a better story, they'll switch. So that's why an investor would want a good story.
Well, the other thing about having a story and why a story matters, and I think this is part of what he talks about in the book, is if you want to ever sell your company, right? The value of what your company is to you is an income. But if the company itself has value, it needs to be attractive to prospective purchasers. And that's kind of the other thing, isn't it, that he's really bringing this up for?
Yeah.
You know, talking about a story.
Yeah. Well, let's get into these questions about, we've said company story a lot here already in the first 4 minutes of this episode, but what does that actually entail? So I'm going to go through all seven of these and then we'll break them down. So question one, what does your company do? Can you answer that question succinctly, right? If you can't explain it to a five-year-old, then it's too complicated. Typically for contractors, it's fairly straightforward. What does your company do? Next, what problem do you solve for your target audience? Not just a problem that matters to you, for your customers. What problem are you solving that is your customer's problem? Third question, describe your target market and your ideal customer. Describe them. How well do you know them, right? Fourth, why do you win? And then the next question is, why do you lose? It's interesting to see how people take the winning and losing, what approach they take, but we'll get into that in a second. Sixth question, what is your growth strategy? And seventh question, what is your vision statement? So we've got these seven questions. Let's start back up at the top. What does your company do?
Right.
I think for contractors, it's usually fairly straightforward. Remodel kitchens. What do you think?
I think that's where most of them wind up. But I'm thinking of a pool guy that we had on, Aquascape Pools.
Okay. Antonio?
Antonio. Yeah. Aparicio. He's a couple of years ago. Really, really, really dynamic company and guy, but outdoor living is our passion. You know, that's about him, but that's what he's selling to people is outdoor living.
Yeah.
Right. He doesn't ever talk about a pool. He talks about the outdoor living experience where the grandkids are coming over. We literally built a pool. We, meaning Diane and I, built a pool to attract grandkids.
Mm.
Like planting milkweed to attract butterflies, right?
Anyway. No, that's
so if point. You can tap into those, most people don't.
Yeah.
Most people don't. But the more compelling you can answer, how well you can answer that question, what do you do? You know, we educate. Anyway, I won't go through all of it.
No.
But it's critical component of what do you
do? And so maybe you're thinking a little bit deeper. Like, yeah, we remodel kitchens, but why? And just, I think a great way to get to this is why? Keep asking why, and then you'll start to think about what you really do, like outdoor living is our passion versus building pools. Hey, Cashflow Contractors, really quick. I wanted to ask Martin a question that I get asked all the time. What is business coaching?
Great question. Business coaching in my mind is when a coach or mentor or guide comes alongside you in your journey and provides education, information, and accountability to make progress towards goals that you identify. Most of the clients I work with, our goal is to create a profitable business that can work without them and give them their lives back with less stress, more free time, and more money.
I've seen what you do. You're excellent at it. In business, it can be very lonely, but you don't have to be alone. You can pay people to do things for you. It's not usually that helpful, but if you do things with someone alongside you, like a business coach, it's extremely valuable to building a profitable business that runs without you. How can people get started with business coaching?
Best way to do it is to click on a link in my calendar or go to my webpage and click on a link and book a time with me, no cost. They're 20-minute or 30-minute sessions. I can understand what you're looking for, and maybe you can understand whether or not I feel that need for you.
Well, we'll put that link down in the show notes. Please click it. Schedule a time with Martin. It's free. It's valuable. And maybe you need a business coach. Back to the episode. Let's go on the next one. What problem do you solve? I think a lot of times people think of this just as, okay, well, their kitchen sucks. So we remodeled their kitchen, or they didn't have a pool. Now they have a pool. That's the problem that we solve. But go deeper and put yourself in your customer's shoes. What are the things that you hear them say in a testimonial, in a Google review, in a conversation with them that they're like, oh, we're so glad that you finally fixed this for us. But you need to be spending time with your customers and really documenting it, what it is that they care about, what it is that they're thinking, what it is that they're asking, so that you know how you can better serve them and how you can position yourself to win with your customers. But don't just take it at face value. Go deeper and understand the problem. Next one, describe your target market and your ideal customer. This is really helpful. And you know what I would add to this is describe your anti-customer, your non-ideal customer. It's really helpful because it helps you understand who you're really targeting. But if you can also understand who you're not targeting, it keeps you in a niche, keeps you in a specific lane. Make sure that your deals are always deals that are good rather than we serve everybody. So I think that's a really helpful one as well.
You know, that's a fun one real quickly. On Tuesday, I had a session with a longtime client and has a really good job, but hasn't started yet. And then just in talking, he was talking about how the owner of this job's always complaining. Mm-hmm. And he said, man, it's taking too long. My general contractor's taking too long. And I'm starting to run out of money and all. And we're on a Zoom and I go,
you don't have that job anymore. Do not go there. Right. So anyway, that was a target market. The guy self-identified. He really wants that job, but I'm going to have to stay on it because don't want to do a free one. Sorry.
Yeah. Some jobs you target can never pay enough.
Yeah. This was the anti-target market. Yeah.
So do you feel like people, like your clients understand why they win?
That's a good question. I'll turn it back on you and ask you the same thing, but I'll say this in passing. It's kind of a joke, but salesmen win because they're great offer and skill. They lose because of price, right? Those are not necessarily true. I hope you catch my sarcasm in that. But a lot of times they don't. And it is critical to understand why you win jobs. Because if it's price, that's not where you necessarily want to be unless you're the low-cost producer and you're really good, which is probably not the case.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think the reality is that you probably win for a multitude of reasons. You've got a great culture that has good employees that listen and empathize with the customer throughout the sales process and the production process. You communicate well. Those are all things that matter. But you mentioned offer, and that's a huge one. If your offer isn't tailored to what the customer actually wants and needs and that they actually see that they need, not just what you know that they need, right? Because those are two different things. Malcolm Gladwell talks about spaghetti sauce, and they did consumer surveys and everyone said they wanted chunky and whatever. And the reality is like, no, what sells is they call it chunky, but it's not. It's everybody likes the creamy,
plain old marinara.
Yeah. And so anyways, same thing. They may come to you for something and you know that they need something else, but if you can really understand what they think they need and target your offer to that, where they add value. $100 million offers is a book by Alex Hormozi that's really good that you can listen to on that. But I don't know, with why do you win, I think it's understanding that you have a way that you can win that's unique and different than everybody else, right? And you're also, if you know why you win, then you can keep doing those things, right? It's like having a strategy, tactics, a scoreboard. Why do we beat everybody? Why do people choose us? If you know those things, then you can really honor and protect those things to do them consistently over and over and over again. Right. And vice versa, why do we lose? Now you can have an enemy for your team on this next question. Why does your team lose? When you lose jobs, why are you losing? Well, there's jobs that we want to lose and we need to lose because they would take us off of our course. But when we do lose, what are the things that we're doing wrong? And those are your enemies, right? Not being thorough, not communicating, not being diligent in the sales process, not listening to our customers. Those are the reasons why you lose. And if you have those clear, not just for yourself, but for your team, then you have something that you can be against. And there's always an enemy is really powerful. So being clear on those is very helpful. All right. Do you have a growth strategy? A lot of times people think that they have a funnel in place. Oh yeah, we do Google ads and it works really well. And that's our growth strategy. That's not a growth strategy. Growth strategy is considering the next 3 years, the next 5 years. What is your plan for growing, scaling, and dominating the market? A growth strategy might be that we plan to acquire three competitors in the next 5 years, right? And we're going to do it this way. That would be a growth strategy. We're going to open up two new service lines in the next 2 years, right? We're going to add a new location in this market in the next 3 years. We're going to hire this many roles in the next 2 years. Those are growth strategies, not we run Google ads and we've got a really good website and we knock doors, not a growth strategy.
Well, and the in passing on that too, just it also requires that you do working capital projections, right? A lot of people think, I'm going to market all this and we're going to double our sales or we're going to go into commercial because they're so much bigger. You also have to include, anyway, this isn't about that particular topic, but it's more than how you're going to sell and who you're going to sell to. It's can you afford to do jobs if you succeed mm-hmm. without going broke?
But, yeah, absolutely. Last question. Do you have a vision statement? Kind of on, almost alludes back to your Aquascapes outdoor passion is our outdoor living is our passion. But, you know, a vision is something, well, you'd like to talk about vision. I'm going to let you talk about it. You go.
Well, my thing with visions that I talk about is to describe succinctly, you know, a big vision, what the world looks like, what your company looks like when it's finished. And it never is finished. But people have a hard time with that in my experience, including me. You know, what's the vision? But that's a big glorified vision. And the one I still like better than anything else, well, one of them that I like better is Walt Disney's, back when Walt ran it, was a smile on every face. Okay. One, that's never going to happen, but boy, that's clear. It's informative. It's what we want to do. It, without being very specific, it tells, you know, it gives people guidance. They can say, am what I doing right now adding to our vision of a smile on every face or not? And if it's not, quit doing it. If it is, keep doing it, right? Oversimplify. Secondary kind of vision is one that I like to talk to people about and say, what do you really want? And a lot of them really want a business that runs on systems, that has people working who don't need constant guidance, that love, who love being there, feel safe and secure. You know, I'm not talking about triggered. I just mean everybody's on the same team. They love being together. They love working together. That, and we say, okay, now that is a kind of vision that we can totally work through while you're figuring out how your concrete company is going to change the world, right? So, but anyway, you get that guidance. Jeff Finney's was, you know, the most efficient cabinet component manufacturer in the world. Diane's is the clinic of choice. My wife Diane's clinic of choice for moms, and the clinic of choice for the finest therapists. And that really guides everything she does. It really is her vision. So,
it's very hard. It seems so simple, but it takes a lot of refining to be able to get to that point where you understand your vision. But right. When you do have it, it can really rally the troops. It can be the North Star. It can be what you wake up and you think about, and not just you, but your team and everybody else. This is what we're going to do. And a good vision not only rallies your troops, but it speaks to the customer too, right? Like being the clinic of choice for moms, that moms are like, oh, wow, they care about me, you know? And
yeah,
you know, and it makes sense. I don't know. It's hard to say. So yeah. Anyways.
Well, I also have had one, a card I got the other day from a company, Kimray.
Oh yeah.
In Oklahoma City, which is famous, world famous. They make oil field valves. They're world famous for their culture. And really everybody, including you and I, who don't work there, never have, know what their culture is. And it's to have a transformational culture, and I actually have it in my hand here on one of these other cards. Our goal is to inspire transformational change in leaders and corporate culture. Now, it could be a little more specific than that, but it's what they do, and it's why they are who they are. And anybody can touch them.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, great book, 17 Reasons Why Your Company Isn't Investment Grade and What You Can Do About It. It is by Zane Terrence. Really interesting book to read. And if you're ever curious about what are some important things that you can work on in your company that you're not working on, that's a really good one, full of ideas that you can be thinking about from every area of your business. Then, we've mentioned a few other things, our episode with Antonio inside of here, we'll link to that. We've mentioned Jeff Finney, we'll link to his episode as well if you're interested in that. But thank you for listening. Hope you enjoy the show. Hope you're finding less stress, more time, and more money. Please subscribe to our channel on YouTube, as well as to our newsletter in the show notes. We'd love to hear from you guys. Thanks again, Martin.
See you, man.
Thanks for listening to The Cashflow Contractor. Check out our website in the show notes or visit thecashflowcontractor.com.